Let's pray together, will you? Father, we come to you with thankful hearts for this evening, for the service, for the songs that have been sung as congregational hymns and song. And we thank you, Lord, for the special. We thank you for the testimony that was shared by the pastor. We just rejoice in that you are so interested in every aspect of our lives, that there's nothing small in your sight. And Father, we join together in prayer at this time to call upon you to speak to our hearts through your word, and may we be challenged to once again think on communing with yourself. Thank you, Father, for the privilege we have of coming into your throne room through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we're thinking about prayer-changing events this evening. And one of the thoughts that's been on my heart is, when we're talking about prayer and communing with God, really the primary purpose of the communion with God is that our lives will be used for His glory and for His honor to point others to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Leading people to the Lord is one of the greatest joys and privileges there is, to point someone to Christ Jesus. And like a friend of mine said today that stopped by the house and had lunch with us, he talked about leading a fellow to the Lord just recently, and he said, that kind of a happening in my life will carry me a long time. And that is so true. That is so true. You know, you just look back and you think of what the Lord did as He used your life and how He guided you in sharing and how He guided you and what to say and how that it was the appropriate thing to say. And you've learned how you've leaned on the Holy Spirit of God to give you that guidance, and your spiritual ear is sensitive and you're listening and you're obeying and you're praying, and then that heart responds to Christ. You go away from that time and you're just, could we say, charged up to go on for another experience. And we may have a little lapse in between, but we know that God's going to be working and using lives. In regards to this prayer changing events, there's a portion of scripture found in 2 Kings about Hezekiah's prayer. And I believe it's very appropriate in regards to God working in behalf of His children. Tremendous account of one praying and then the Lord working in a marvelous, marvelous way. It's found in 2 Kings 19. And we'll look at the 14th verse. And to give you a little background, we'll just relate this to you. Sennacherib from Assyria had sent a letter to Hezekiah saying that he was going to come and overrun them. He was going to conquer the city and just devastate the place. That he'd already taken out 9 other city kingdoms from Lebanon to Egypt. And those fellows really were as bread. They weren't going to be able to stand against this Assyrian army with their chariots and their horsemen, their camel cavalry, their footmen, their archers, the modern day of their time of infantry, cavalry, armory. They were the best. And when Hezekiah got that letter, he knew that his troops, his country was no match for this great army. And so he turned to the Lord. And that's what he should have done. And here in this 14th verse, It says, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messenger and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth... Now, hear this man's prayer. He wanted the victory to be a testimony. He wanted it to be of such a victory that there be no dispute that it was God and God alone. That God was going to orchestrate this in some way. Hezekiah didn't know how. Had no idea, except he knew it had to be God. It had to be God. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou alone. Sennacherib's troops had deployed for battle. They had camped in the valley. I am sure that they were triumphant, probably celebrating, proud and arrogant. Man, these guys are going to be nothing for us. Why, we can get them with one sweep. No problem. They went to bed that night. And the angel of the Lord, I want you to hear this, and the angel of the Lord in one night killed 145,000 Assyrian troops. One angel. What do you think it would have been if Jesus had called on a legion of angels? He'd have devastated the whole Royal Roman Empire if one angel killed 145,000 in one night. And so when they rose up in the morning and all of these men were dead, Sennacherib packed up his gear and said, we better get out of here. We've got to leave. If they got this money in the nighttime and they never even drew a sword, we're no match for these folks. And what do you think the word got out? Spread all over the area. Don't fight the Jews. They got somebody on their side. We don't know who it is. We never saw them. We don't know anything about it. But 145,000 of our men lay dead in the tent. What a victory, huh? What a triumph. What a triumph. All because the king realized where his help was from and where his help lied. Wasn't in himself, wasn't in the craftiness of his men. He didn't send his crack troops out and have them flank them or try to work out some kind of a battle plan. He did the most important thing. He prayed. He believed God. When I read this and studied this over, it's been quite a while back, I realized this is where we need to go. Because God is God today. He hasn't changed. Hebrews 13:8. And I realize that there's some that have taken that way out of context. But the truth of it is true. Jesus Christ is saying, yesterday, today, and forever. And how he has taken care of the Jews back in the days of Hezekiah, he's taken care of the Christians down through the centuries. And I realize that there's been tragedies along the line, and there's been some things that we can't understand or explain, but that doesn't take away from the fact that God is God, and above him there is no other. And so in light of that, encourage you to be a person of prayer and believe God. Believe God that he's going to do what he said he'll do. In the line of encouragement along this line, let's go to the 91st Psalm. It's kind of lengthy, but I want you to look with me there. The 91st Psalm, it says in the first verse, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Remember, we that know him personally, we're under the shadow of the Almighty. His hand is watching over us. "I will say, Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." I hope if you mark your Bibles, you're marking this. You might have already done this, but I would encourage you to do so. And I also would encourage you to go back to this from time to time. Because one thing I've learned in my years of living is that we're all going to face some difficulties in this life. We're not going to be exempt. Of one kind or another. And when those difficulties come, because you see, it's in difficulties that we grow spiritually. When times are good and things are going good, there's very little growth. Now, we like those kind of times. We want those kind of times. But when we have them, we're not really relying on the Lord or seeing our need of relying on the Lord. Give you a just quick practical example. I was an apprentice in a shipyard as a ship fitter. And I'm certainly glad that I did. I think it was one of the most beneficial educations I ever had. For 4 years, I was an apprentice. And the fellow that I worked for was an ultra-perfectionist. And one day he said, "I want you to go up on the 13 boat, no, the 93 boat, the Tullaby. And he said, "I want you to put up all the stanchions in the COC area, command and control area, so that we can finish it out and start putting in periscopes and sonar equipment and all that goes along with it." So I took the blueprints. I went up there and stretched them all out. And my helper and I worked for 2 weeks putting these stanchions on. Boy, I'd put that level on there, you know, and I'd get everything right. And then I'd put the declivity board on it, which when you're building a submarine back in those days, it's on an angle. So you have what you call a declivity board that rectifies the angle so that the lever is level. And I'd put that on there and I'd make sure everything's right. And had them all up, so I went to my boss, my lead man. I said, "I got them all in." He said, "Okay, let's go check them." And I thought, "What are you going to go check them for?" I put them in. I did it right. He said, "I'm going to check them." So he goes up there with a level and he checks them, you know, forward and aft, which would be the declivity, port and starboard, which was inboard, outboard? And he said, take them all up. I said, are you kidding? He said, I said, take them all out. They're not level. I looked at the bubble and I said, well, it's in the middle. He said, no, it's not. He said, see here, it's creeped down here a little bit. He said, I want that bubble in the middle. Take them all out. Well, I grabbed my tools, okay? I marched off the boat, went down to the weight shack and said, I'm quitting. And the weight shack boss said, oh, aren't you a wimp? What are you quitting for? Well, McPhee come up there and made fun of my work and told me all those stanchions in the COC are wrong and all that. He said, do you want to learn to be a ship fitter? I said, yeah, I want to learn to be a ship fitter. Get your tools, get your helper, get back on that boat and put them in right. And quit crying, man, quit crying. So I did what he said. I did what he said. And boy, I mean, I really applied myself. I learned something from that, okay? And from that, I went on and learned that when you do a job, do it right. And my helpers, I had 15 guys that ended up being my helpers. They didn't like me at all. They said, you're nothing but a perfectionist, Hudson. You want everything right. And I says, yeah, that's exactly right. That's the only way you're going to learn how to do this. How would you like to ride one of these submarines and it not be built right? They'd go marching off and say, man, oh man, I think I'll punch out. And I'd say, well, go ahead. But if you do, don't punch it in the morning. You could fire people back in those days. But it was difficulty. It taught me something. And from that, I thought on that thing and I said, you know, Ron, there's a spiritual truth in that. There's a spiritual truth in that. You learn through difficulties. You learn through difficulties. They're not bad. Yeah, they seem bad, but they're not bad. And how true that is. He surely shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me. Because he has set his love upon me. That's something that I've learned over the years. That God loves us. I hear some people belittle that and say, well, you know, God's a God of wrath. Well, that's true. But I tell you this, he's a God of love. If he wasn't, we'd be consumed. He is a God of mercy. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Tremendous song. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God changes events. And prayer is key to that. We've been commissioned as believers to be in prayer. We've been challenged by the Lord In Luke, the 18th chapter, the 1st to the 8th verse, Jesus talks about the unjust judge. And we'll use that scripture tomorrow evening. He challenges us to be in prayer continually, constantly, before the Lord, praying always, never to cease, praying for all the needs, praying for laborers. Matthew 9, 36 through 38 talks about praying for laborers. That should be the thrust of each and every one of us, to pray for laborers. In 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 3, talks about the Word of God having free course. And as missionaries, one of the things that we ask people to pray with us about is to learn the language. Because without the language, we can't communicate the gospel. And it's marvelous how God will raise up some who are tremendous language learners. Not all are language learners. We can learn the language, but we can't learn the language, you know? By that I mean we'll always have a little accent. I was speaking Spanish to a Mexican girl one day, and I said, "Well, what do you think about my Spanish?" She said, "Well, do you want to know the truth?" I said, "Well, yeah, well, give it to me." She says, "I sound just like a Texan." And I said, "Well, what does that mean?" She says, "You'll never learn the language." You'll learn it, but you'll always have an accent, you know? And that's true. But then there are some who learn it. And they learn it so well, they don't have an accent. And those kind of folks are few and far between. And so when we say, pray for the Word of God to have free course, that's part of it. That's part of it, so that we will speak at liberty. Another thing in Colossians 1, 9 through 13, we aren't going there for expediency's sake. It talks about the fact that we should see growth in the believers' lives. And as missionaries in training through the mission, one of the things we've encouraged our folks to do, and I'm going to mention this to you, although you're not in the same category, is to get involved in one another's lives. Now that's difficult. That's difficult, I know, in the church. But if we could do this, it'd be a tremendous, tremendous blessing. We encourage our folks to be more outgoing, to get involved. We encourage them to be faithful. Be faithful. If you're on work detail and the work comes to the end and you're working with a hose, roll that hose up, put it back. If you're working with any tools and you've got them dirty, wash them off, put them on the racks. If you're working in the carpenter shop and you've got sawdust all over the floor, sweep it up, put it in the sawdust bin. Whatever it may be, if your ladies are working in the kitchen, clean the kitchen up, put the utensils up, leave it clean for the next person. This is the area of being faithful. And every one of us here like it when someone is faithful. If you borrow a person's car, put gas in it. Don't use their gas and not replace it. Be faithful. And these are some of the things that we teach, and this is what the Word teaches. Spiritual growth. You say, is that being spiritual? I think it is. If I was doing a supply run for you, and you said to me, "Ron, I want you to pick up 10 vials of 5 cc's penicillin in Puerto Ayacucho on supply run, would you do that?" And the folks are living way out in Parima on the Brazilian border, and the only way in and out is by plane, then I would be faithful to go to the druggist or every drugstore in PA and inquire about getting 10 vials of 5 cc penicillin. I had to do that one time. I searched all over PA for it. Finally had to order it out. Didn't know why, but I did it. Flew out to the mountains and went into Parima, went down to the clinic, and I saw all these names up on the board. I said to Danny Shaler, I said, "Danny, what's all those names for?" He said, "Those are all the people who have been bitten by snakes." I said to myself, I says, "Hello?" I said, "Well, why do you keep a record for?" He says, "Because we administer so much medication, and after every bite, we give them 5 cc's of penicillin." I said, "Now I know why you wanted 5 cc's. He said, "We could get 3, but," he said, "then you'd have to throw one away, draw a cc off of one vial along with the other 3, because one of the things we always did was gave an Indian a massive dose because we may never see him again. They were from way off. They'd come and they'd be gone. So to keep them from being allergic to penicillin, they told us it'd be best to give 5 cc's at one time. I'm not a doctor. I'm not even a nurse, but I did what I was told. I've given a few shots along the line. But I learned something. The importance of doing what they asked us to do. Being faithful. So when we're thinking about this, praying for these needs, praying for believers to grow. When you pray for believers to grow and be faithful, you know what you're doing? You're praying for yourself. And in the process, you know what the Holy Spirit does? It speaks to you about being faithful in your witness for Jesus Christ. It speaks to you in being faithful in your conduct. How you conduct your life. You know, the proof of your walk with the Lord isn't in this church. Isn't in your Sunday school class. It's when you get out and walk with the ordinary person in life. That is where your testimony really rings true. That's where it's all about. That's where the humility of Christ comes forth. When you are on the job and someone was to ask your fellow workers, "What is this person like?" And he would say, "Man, he's one of the easiest and treated people I've ever met." That's not an insult. That's a tribute to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's spiritual growth. That's what we want for a testimony. So that when that man comes to work one day, like I've had happen to me, and he says, "You know, I'm ready to take my life. I don't want to live anymore." He said, "Hudson, when you're in the bilge area of the boat, I want to talk to you." I said, "Okay." Had a great time. Prayed for that guy. Wouldn't have had that opportunity. Now, I'm not bragging on myself, folks. If I hadn't shown forth a Christ-like way. They put on my toolbox, Billy Graham, the music man. He used to say, "Don't work with Hudson. All he does is sing, 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 sing." I was working one time down in the forward engine room, and we was putting an overboard discharge in for the diesel engine, and I was having a terrible time. One of the outside machinists said, "Why don't you get a lead hammer and beat that thing in there?" And the other guy spoke up and said, "Hudson's not going to do that." "He's not." He said, "No." He said, "He's a Christian. He won't do that." What do you think that did to me? I walked off that submarine that day and I said, "Boy, Ron, you better get yourself in order, buddy. Because these people are watching your life. Every minute of it. All the time. This is where the rubber meets the road. It's not in the Sunday school class. It's here in the engine room on the 13 boat. So we should pray for our fellow Christians to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's very, very important. If you see a need in my life, and I mean this sincerely, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray that God will enlighten me and open my eyes that I might see that the way I'm conducting my life is not bringing glory to Jesus Christ. Though that's what the Word teaches. We can pray for those things. We don't hear that too much, but we can pray for them. It says, pray for souls everywhere. Everywhere. That's what it tells us over 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. 2 Peter 3, 9. 2 Peter 3, 9. Pray for all men, for God is not willing that any should perish. He's not willing for any should perish. So in light of that, it's been my policy to witness to anybody, everybody. Doesn't matter who it is, I witness to them. You know, they turn me off, that's okay. That doesn't matter. If I was selling vacuum sweepers, I'd knock on every door. But I'm selling something greater than a vacuum sweeper. A vacuum sweeper is only going to pick up the dirt right here. But the blood of Jesus Christ is going to clean up a heart. It's going to last for eternity. It's going to last for eternity. So pray for souls everywhere. Precious. Very important thing too is this. Pray for believers to stay in the will of God. Colossians 4:12. Pray for believers to stay in the will of God. Colossians 4:12. It's very, very important. Pray for that. Christian friends, when the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you about your brothers and sisters in Christ, and the Lord speaks to your heart that that person, that individual, has a spiritual need, and you see that they're going in another direction, pray for them and then pray that God will give you an opportunity and give you the wisdom to give them some direction. Please. We've done that with our missionaries. As part of my ministry, New Tribes Mission, I was a pastor for Venezuela for a while. Was to go in and spend time with the folks in the stations. And while I was there, I didn't want to be a busybody or cause any hindrance, but I wanted to be a blessing. And I would encourage you folks, you know, let's have devotions. Let's pray in the morning. Let's read the Word. Let's share. What's God teaching your heart? What's God showing you from His Word? Share that with me. Share it with me. There's a hunger in your heart to be with other believers. To have fellowship with those of like kindred faith. Steel sharpens steel. This is a paraphrase, not word for word, but so does one believer sharpen another. One believer sharpen another. Tremendous. Praying for that. The Word of God teaches us to, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, said, pray without ceasing. So I would encourage you, highly encourage you to do that. I don't believe there's one person here, you wouldn't be here if you weren't interested, that isn't interested in your life, spiritual growth. pray towards your testimony. I want to challenge you in this way in closing. Pray that God will use your life to reach your family for Jesus Christ. They're the hardest ones. There's no question. They're the hardest ones. Because, you know what? They know our frailties, don't they? I remember I belonged to U.S. subvets in World War II, and my state commander and his wife went to one of our conventions, and I didn't go. And one of my uncles was in the same group. He lives in Connecticut, and they met out in Nevada and Salt Lake City. And anyway, Mrs. Cheek said to me, "I got to be with your uncle." I said, "You did?" She said, "Oh, yeah. You should have heard some of the things he said about you." And I said, "Oh, my word." He knew me ever since I was a little shaver, you know. And I said, "Well, I trust I've changed since then." That's about all I said, you know. But I'm thinking, you know, my Uncle Brownie, my Aunt Lois, they know me. But I have a real heart to see those two folks come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So I'm praying that God will use me, or as I pray, that my life will touch them for the kingdom of God. It's exciting when you do have family members come to the Lord. I led my cousin Sandra, who was an alcoholic, who called me one day on the phone from Connecticut and talked 3 hours. She started out, she was under the influence of alcohol. When she got finished, she knew Christ as her Savior. And she's free from alcohol today, and that's been 20 some odd years ago. You see, that's what all this praying is about. Is reaching people for Christ Jesus. And that our lives will bear fruit for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that men may see Christ in us. And that is the Word of God speaks in 2 Corinthians. We are living epistles read of men. We are living epistles read of men. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. And we thank you so much, Father, for your word. For it is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the divine of the bone from the marrow. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. We thank you that we can walk in complete dependence upon the truth of it. The living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. The written word. And the word that is brought to us through the working of your Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for your presence, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.